So now let's go to the prayer. Prayer of Manasseh in the Apocrypha. Starting from the top, it says, O Yahweh, Almighty God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of their righteous seed. So let's stop there. This shows us that Manasseh knew who his forefathers were. Manasseh knew that he was an Israelite. Manasseh knew that the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, that was the only God that our righteous forefathers and the righteous seed, meaning their righteous children, worshipped. Okay, this generation, we didn't know that. We didn't know who our fathers were. We didn't know Abraham. We did not know Isaac. And we did not know Jacob. Okay? And the Most High knew that that was going to be the case with us. Let's go to the book of Leviticus chapter 26. But as we come back, learning who you are is just the first step. It's not what's going to give you salvation. Knowing you're an Israelite is not the only thing that is required of you. You need, it's not just, oh, I know Deuteronomy 28, I know the Israelites are black, I'm in the truth. No, you're not. Because Manasseh knew he was an Israelite. But yet, all that stuff he did proved that what? That he did not follow the Most High. And that the Most High was angry with him and with all Israel because of what they were doing. So in Leviticus chapter 26, and we're going to start at verse 38. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 38 says, "And ye shall perish among the heathen." So what started happening to our people, and what is still happening to our people? A lot of us are dying among the other nations. We're perishing among the other nations. "And the land of your enemies shall eat you up." And this is what's happening to a lot of our people. You know, some of them are dying by the hands of cops, drug dealers, murderers. All the different distractions that are out there are destroying our people's souls. And it's eating them up, okay, where they can't see the mercy and the way that they're supposed to be following. "And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands." What that's letting us know is basically that this place is not our rest, right? Our people are little by little. It's like, let me put it to this way, individually, right? As a man or a woman, this world, this captivity, this life will cause you to little by little pine away. The word pine away meaning, you know, for you to be chopped down little by little, for you to be, you know, melting away little by little. You know what I'm saying? Like our people, man, they, you know, they could never progress or get ahead. When they try to get ahead and they work hard, they work hard, they work hard, here it is that their health is getting worse. You know what I'm saying? They're living from paycheck to paycheck. You know, they're eating less. So many things is causing them to what? Pine away. Wither away. That's another word. So it says that the reason we pine away is because of our iniquity in your enemy's lands. Also in the iniquity of their fathers shall they pine away with them. Showing you that basically some of our people are following things that they were taught by their parents, not knowing that it is wrong. So because of that, you get the vicious cycle of people suffering because of their sin. "If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespass against me, and that they also have walked contrary unto me," so showing you what we're supposed to do in this time period, confess our iniquity, and not only our iniquity, but even the iniquity of our fathers, because this is why we ended up here. So for example, the idolatry that our forefathers have done, you know, the setting up of abominations, the witchcraft, you know, the murders, all the different things that basically has made us to be a people that are forsaken of the Most High. If we acknowledge our trespass, the breaking of the commandments, and that we have walked contrary unto the Most High, we walked a different path and a different life than what the Most High wanted for us. And that I also have walked contrary unto them. And the Most High also was what? Like our enemy, walking on another direction. And have brought them into the land of their enemies. And he brought us here. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and then accept the punishment of their iniquity, and they accept the punishment of their iniquity. So we got to accept the punishment that the Most High gave us. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. So what the Most High is telling us is basically to bethink ourselves, to remember ourselves. Remember who our forefathers are. Remember the promises and the agreements that he made with them. And then if we do that, he will remember. So showing us we got to take the first step. We got to come near unto him, and then he will draw near to us. Then he will what? Remember us and remember the land that he promised us. Remember the blessings that's supposed to be to us and that land. The land also shall be left of them and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despise my judgments. And that's why in this school we make sure to teach what? Judgment all the time. Because one of the reasons we are out of our land, with no temple, with no nation, basically scattered, forsaken, is because we hated the judgments of the Most High. And because their soul abhorred my statutes, and our people hated the Most High's laws and commandments. He said, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. Just like he gave Manasseh's mercy, the Most High will also not cast us away. He will also give us mercy. Neither will I abhor them. He's not going to have hatred with us forever, to destroy them utterly. And in the second coming of Christ, if we continue to atone, repent on a daily basis, if we continue to take, you know, the Most High's feast days and Sabbaths seriously, then the Most High will not destroy us at the second coming of his Son. If we are for real by our prayers that we send up today, then we will not be destroyed. It says, and to break my covenant with them. So the Most High will not destroy us and will not break the agreement that he has with us. He said, for I am the Lord their God, for I am Yahweh their God. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant. The word covenant means the agreement of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God, and that I am the Lord. These are the statutes and the judgments and the laws which the Lord Yahweh made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. So this is what we got to come back to. We got to come back to the laws, statutes, and the judgments in the faith of Christ. Because Christ is the atonement. He's the sacrifice that allows us to come back and become one with the Most High. It's showing you that we need to reconcile. Because the Most High was walking contrary to us, and we were walking contrary to him. We became his enemy, and he became ours. Okay? So now, we got the chance, through the blood of Yahawashi, to be cleansed and stay pure by walking in the commandments. Yeah, there's going to be mistakes that you are acknowledging today and things that you were ignorant of. But as you learn and as your spirit increase, you're supposed to what? Also increase in the way that you keep the commandments. So back in the prayer of Manasseh, king of Judah. Back in Manasseh, king of Judah, it says here, who have made heaven and earth. Our God is the only God. Who made everything that exists right now. He made heaven and earth with all the ornament thereof. And the ornament thereof meaning Here it is, he was worshiping the stars, the moon, the sun, the planets, instead of worshiping the one that made it. Okay, the ornaments are those things. It says, who has bound the sea by the word of thy commandment. And what that means is, when you look at the sea, the only reason the sea doesn't overflow over the land is because the Most High gave a commandment of the boundary of how far the waters could come in. It is the Most High that controls the waves of the sea. It is Him that controls the coming up of the sun and the going down of the sun. It says, who has shut up the deep and sealed it by the terrible and glorious name. So the Most High shut up the deep, meaning the deep is referring to the oceans, right? Yeah, man could travel by ships, but the man cannot go to the deepest part of the ocean. You know why? Because of the pressure. Okay? In the deep of the ocean, there's creatures that man has never even seen. Like Leviathan, for an example. And this, all this was done by the terrible and glorious name of the Most High, whom all men fear. Even the atheists, they fear the Most High. You know how we know that they fear the Most High? When they get jacked up, what they first say? Immediately out of their mouth. Oh God! You know what I'm saying? Most atheists, when they are in their deathbed, they start regretting the fact that they were atheists. You understand that? So when it says here, whom all men fear and tremble before thy power. And that's so true. No matter what. Something like a storm, for example, show the Most High's power. When the Most High brings a hurricane, don't men fear that? When the Most High brings an earthquake, do not men tremble at the power of the Most High? Even when the Most High doesn't bring a huge, terrible storm, just something as simple as lightning and thunderings, and you're like, oh, you start jumping because of the terrible, you know, sound of it. So all men fear the Most High. All men. When you see a dog that's supposed to be, you know, fearful of you, and he's charging, running towards you, right? And it's a pit bull or whatever, right? And your heart starts jumping. Oh my God, I'm gonna get bit. That's the creation of the Most High, showing you there's so many ways that you could fear the Most High. Okay? So it says, for the majesty of that glory cannot be borne. And what that means is, no one could really, really understand how great the Most High is, how majestic He is. No one could carry that in their body. The understanding of how huge and powerful and great and holy the Most High is. You know, when we think that we are exaggerating about the Heavenly Father, you haven't even come close to the way that He really is. That's what the scripture tells us. Y'all know that, right? He far exceeds our thoughts. So when you think, oh, the Most High must be this huge, and your imagination can't even grasp how great the Most High is. Okay? So it says here, and thy angry threatening towards sinners is importable. When the scripture says that angry threatening, because the Most High, He has been threatening many, many times. When He sends the prophets, what did He do? He's showing them mercy, but at the same time, He's threatening. It's like when a parent goes and say, listen, if you don't listen, I'm going to beat your butt. Okay? That's a threat. Right? But the difference between the parents that are, you know, flesh and blood and the Most High is that when He threatens, His threat to sinners is importable. The word importable means that just like, you know, you get imported water, you know, basically that it reaches its destination. That's what it means. That it gets there. You understand? When the Most High makes His threats, it doesn't just go on deaf ears and then nothing happens. You might not listen to Him. You might ignore what He said, but you will feel what? You will feel His threat. Because didn't Manasseh ignore it? Didn't the children of Israel ignore it? But then who is he praying to now? You see, who is he seeking mercy from? Okay? So it says here, but thy merciful promise is unmeasurable and unsearchable. The merciful promise he's talking about is the promise that the Most High gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That the Most High knew that we were going to end up as a nation going off. He knew that we were going to go into idolatry and go into wickedness. But yet he was going to still provide us the opportunity while we were yet sinners through the blood of his son to be able to return. Not that we could go and sin again and again and again and try to use the name of his son as an excuse, but to give us one opportunity, okay? And through that one opportunity, you're going to make some mistakes, but you're not going to be committing sins worthy of death. You're not going to be committing willful sin. Because if you commit willful sin, then guess what? Then the only thing you have looking forward to is that threat of the Most High's anger and destruction. It says, but thy merciful promise is unsearchable and unmeasurable. What that means is there's no... Look how he dealt with this dude. He was like no limit to how much he forgave him. Right? You can't search. You can't say, this is, you know, this is how I know how much the Most High is going to give me, how much mercy he's going to give me. Because you don't know. That's what I mean by unsearchable. For thou art the Most High, Lord, of great compassion, long-suffering, very merciful, and repentance of the evils of men. Repentance of the evils meaning the Most High doesn't have any sin. Okay? But he repents of what? Of the destruction, meaning that he planned to do to men. So when he says, I'm going to do this to you, and if you repent, then he goes, okay, I'm not going to do it to you. That's what it meant by repentance of the evil of men. Thou, Yahweh, according to thy great goodness, has promised repentance and forgiveness to them that have sinned against thee. So the Most High has promised us repentance and forgiveness. Look how we know that's true. Today, the Day of Atonement is a representation of that. How the Most High has, you know, given us that promise. And of thine infinite mercies has appointed repentance unto sinners, that they may be saved. So the Most High has given all of us the chance, as Israelites, to come back, be sorrowful for the wrong we did, forsake it, meaning not go back to it, and be forgiven. So that at the end, at the coming of Christ, we could be what? Saved. Thou therefore, O Yahweh, thou art the God of the just. So if you go back to your wickedness after the Most High gave you the opportunity to repent, he's no longer your God. Who becomes your God? Satan. Like how we went over on the Sabbath. The Most High is the God of the just. The word just means those that keep his laws. You can read that in Ezekiel chapter 18. The Most High is the God of those that live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You're not going to live by wickedness, it said. He said you're going to live by faith, meaning you're going to live your life according to the Spirit, according to the laws, according to the commandments. It has not appointed repentance to the just. Meaning once you come into the truth and you seek to be righteous, that forgiveness that the Most High gave us, that repentance that he gave us of our idolatry, of our foolishness that we were in the world, our ignorance, we cannot go back to it, because if we go back to it, there's no more what? Repentance for it. That doesn't mean there's no mercy for sins, okay? But there is no mercy for sins worthy of death. Let's make it clear. Like, for example, some of us were raised in the Catholic Church. Some of us were raised in the Pentecostal Church or whatever other church, thinking that we were following Christ. But what we were really following? An idol, Caesar Borgia. Some of our people were raised in the mosque, in a Muslim church, being unclean in Islami, you know. You know what I'm saying? Some of our people come from a background of idolatry from the Rastafarians. You see what I'm saying? And there's so many other things that our people were involved in, like witchcraft, which also involves what? Idolatry. Praying to saints, praying to angels, you know, things like that. Once we repent, if we go back to those sins, there's not going to be forgiveness for that. If we go back to the idolatry that we were in and we forsake the Most High, He's not going to forgive it. Let's prove it real quickly. Let's go to the let's go to Wisdom of Solomon. I was gonna go to Isaiah, but let's stay in the Apocrypha. Let's go to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 13. So for those of our people that are aware of their nationality, but they have images in their homes, and they are making images, repent before you get destroyed. And don't go back to that. Because if you go back to that, guess what? You're not going to be forgiven. And those of our people that were aware of the law and knew that that's something wicked and went back to it, there's no forgiveness for them. And we shouldn't follow after their example. So in Wisdom of Solomon chapter 13, let's read from verse 1 just to get the whole thing. Surely vain are all men by nature, who are ignorant of Yahweh, and could not out of the good things that are seen know him. Because everything around us speak of the Most High. You know how in this world, our people are blinded of the truth, but all day, every day, there's things that are telling them that they are Israelites and telling them about the Most High and telling them about, you know, whether they're watching TV. Sometimes on TV, they show things that is speaking about the Most High. Whether they go to work, whatever. There's so many things, so many signs around us that reveal the Heavenly Father. And I'm not just talking about the natural things like the changing of weather and, you know, and the changing of seasons and things like that. But even things like you pick up a newspaper and sometimes an article might say something that is about the truth, but our people don't pick it up. See what I'm saying? So it says here, and could not out of the good things that are seen know him. That is, neither by considering the works did they acknowledge the workmaster, because someone made all the things that are here. Someone made the trees, someone made the stars, someone made these planets. So if someone made it, then there means there's a maker. There's someone that did the work, a workmaster. There has to be a creator. So when a person says they're an atheist, it shows how foolish and vain they are. Because nothing is created of itself. You know, a car doesn't become a car because it just happened to come together. You know what I'm saying? A TV, a television doesn't happen just to come together and, oh, now I can watch TV. Electricity, you know, all these different things. We are ourselves should understand that they are what? They are made. And you have to make them. So if those things had to be made, how much more the things that are greater in power, like the sun, the moon, the stars? How is it that the moon has a cycle that is so precise that you could calculate it with math? How is it that the sun comes at always at the same appointed time? Obviously, someone did created it. Someone did work. It says, but deem either fire or wind or the swift air or the circle of stars or the violent water or the lights of heaven to be the gods which govern the world. So this is what Manasseh was doing. He thought that these things were gods. With whose beauty, if they be in delight, it took them to be gods. Let them know how much better the Lord of them is. For the first author of beauty have created them. And the Most High is the one that is the author, the creator. And he's the one that when we look at certain things, like we look at certain flowers, we're like, damn, that's so beautiful. You got to understand the Most High. He's the one that created beauty. All right. He's the one that understands what beauty is. But if they were astonished at their power and virtue, let them understand by them how much mightier, how much stronger, how much more powerful he is that made them. For by the greatness and beauty of the creatures, meaning of the things that were made, proportionably the maker of them is seen. So by the things that were made, you could tell that there's a maker. It says, but yet for this they are less to be blamed. For they peradventure err, seeking God and desirous to find him. So sometimes our people, they're seeking the Heavenly Father, and the Most High is still giving them a chance to what? Come back to him. He doesn't put that much blame on them for it because they are desirous to seek. Verse 7, we in Wisdom of Solomon 13 and 7. For being conversant
In his works, they search him diligently and believe their sight, because the things are beautiful that are seen. But check this out. Howbeit, neither are they to be pardoned. Right there's the point. If you are in idolatry after you have learned the laws, the statutes, and the judgments of the scriptures, after you have learned that you're Israel, if you didn't repent from it, okay, you still have the opportunity to repent. But now that you have knowledge, like all of us in this room, we have knowledge of it. If one of us decided to go and start worshiping an idol, the Most High is telling us straight up that we will not be what? Pardoned. The word pardon means we will not be forgiven. You understand that, right? So the Most High, while we still sinners, give us the chance of repentance and forgiveness of all these horrible, wicked sins that we will never have been forgiven for under the laws of sacrifice. He gave an atonement to the nation of Israel that's greater than any atonement that could ever be given, where we could be cleansed of every kind of sin. But now that we seek to be just and to live by faith, we cannot go back to these things. Because if you do, you will not be pardoned of those sins that are worthy of death. So, like, for example, if you commit fornication, you're not going to make it to the kingdom. If you commit the sin of adultery, you will not make it to the kingdom. If you commit the sin of blasphemy, you will not make it to the kingdom. If you commit the sin of witchcraft, you will not make it to the kingdom. If you break the Most High Sabbaths, you will not make it to the kingdom. If you eat blood, you will not make it to the kingdom. If you commit murder, you will not make it to the kingdom. And these are all things we could find scripture showing that you will not be forgiven for, okay, after you have received knowledge of the truth. That's why Manasseh said that he has not given repentance to the just. Meaning, the Most High is not going to make a clean slate all over seven times seven and all this stuff. No. You got to repent to the Most High and no longer be his enemy. Walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Like today, if our people that don't keep the Day of Atonement, he said they will be what? Destroyed. They'll be cut off. So we're going back to the prayer of Manasseh. So that's to show us clearly that there's a balance in repentance. While we're in ignorance, the Most High winked at our ignorance. But now that we have repented, we cannot go back to that, because we will not be forgiven. Instead, what will happen is at the second coming of Christ, we will be destroyed. So back in the prayer of Manasseh, it says here, "Thou therefore, O Lord Yahweh, that art the God of the just, has not appointed repentance to the just, as to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, which have not sinned against thee." And this is teaching us a great lesson. Do y'all know that the sacrifices for sin, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't have to do that? Because they did not sin before the Most High. That's why in the book of Galatians, it tells us that that law was given 430 years after. Meaning after we came out of Egypt. Alright? That was added to the law. Because in the beginning, when the Most High gave the laws to Adam, that was never part of it. It became a part of it with Adam and Eve. And then, you know, it was being passed down. But then the Most High called Abraham out of the world. And instead of Abraham sacrificing for his sin, he was told to be perfect. And you don't read about Abraham sacrificing for sin. You read about him sacrificing for peace offerings, you know, praise offerings to give thanks to the Most High, but not for sin. So it says here, "But thou hast appointed repentance unto me, that I am a sinner. For I have sinned above the number of the sands of the sea. My transgressions, O Yahweh, are multiplied. My transgressions are multiplied, and I am not worthy to behold and see the height of heaven for the multitude of mine iniquities." This is why when we pray, we're supposed to pray with our heads bowed down. Because basically, you know, the Most High is showing us, you know, that the multitude of our sins, you know, when we have a lot of sin in us, we shouldn't have that spirit of pride in us where we're looking up like, you know, eye to eye with the Most High, like, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. Like, I know I'm going to be forgiven. No, it's up to the Most High for you to be forgiven. So that's why the scriptures teach us also, do not let your sins weigh you down. In other words, if you didn't commit a sin with your death, don't multiply your sins. Don't add sin unto sin. Because you know what sometimes people do? They say, well, I did this wickedness already, so might as well do that one also. And they keep adding. Let me add to that one too, this one. You know, and let me add to that one also. Don't do that. Because the scripture tells you, you're not going to be unpunished. Instead, have a shameful heart. Be ashamed of your sin. And basically understand, don't be ashamed to the point where you don't pray. But be ashamed that you bow your head and lift up your hands to the Most High. It says here, and see the height of heaven for the multitude of my iniquities. I am bowed down with many iron bands that I cannot lift up my head. Neither have any release. So it wasn't like, you know how jail today, you know, so-called white men put you in jail. He put you in a cage. He was still shackled inside the jail cell. Okay. And on top of that, it's not like they gave you, you know, time to roam around in the yard, you know what I'm saying? For you to exercise and watch TV, and there was no release of any kind. You understand that? So it was when it was torture. It was terrible torture, you know. And imagine if the spirit of a evil spirit jump on you and you become claustrophobic, you know, and you become afraid and you chained up. Oh my God, that would destroy your spirit. Yeah, like you ever seen what movie was it that? There was a movie where a guy didn't want to give in and say his name, and he was in jail, and they basically threw him inside, not in a regular jail cell, the solitary jail, and that broke him down. Basically, he started going crazy because he was in there so long that he started talking to himself. You know what I'm saying? Because that really jacks you up. You start seeing things. You start talking to yourself. Yeah. What's the difference from that? Solitary is basically there's no bars, you know, there's no one with you there, you by yourself in the dark, there's no windows of any kind. Basically, you know, you're trapped up in a wall, and the only thing that sometimes opens up is this little latchet, like they'll go and pass you the food. So that's the only light you get to see. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you know, that's what solitary is. And some solitary is different. Some are, you know, a little less than that, but some are like that, terrible like that, where you're in the dark by yourself, no one there, and then the only time you get to see some light is when they pass you the food. Anyway, back to Premonesis. It says here, I am bound down with many iron bands, that I cannot lift up my head, neither have any release. For I have provoked thy wrath and done evil before thee. I did not thy will, neither kept I thy commandments. So that shows us that the will of the Most High is to keep his commandments. And we got to understand that we got to be careful not to tempt the Most High. Sometimes people tempt the Most High by, it's like, you know, I'm just going to do it and then I'll repent later. No, don't. If you know it's already wrong, why are you going to do it and then say, I'm going to repent later? Just don't do it. Because all that does is provoke the Most High's anger. All that does is make him angry. Okay? So it says, that I cannot lift up my head, neither have any release, for I have provoked thy wrath and done evil before thee. I did not thy will, neither kept I thy commandments. I have set up abominations and have multiplied offenses. Now therefore I bow the knee of mine heart, beseeching thee of grace. I have sinned, O Yahweh, I have sinned, and I acknowledge my iniquities. Wherefore I humbly beseech thee, forgive me, O Yahweh. Forgive me and destroy me not with my iniquities. And that's the same thing we want from the Most High. We want the Most High to forgive us and not to destroy us because of our sins. We cannot have that spirit of pride in us like we already in the kingdom. We got to have that spirit of humility and understand that it is the mercy of the Most High that brought us in here. And if we keep ourselves diligently, then it's the mercy of the Most High that will get us the kingdom. Be not angry with me forever by reserving evil for me. And y'all know in the book of Jude, the Most High talks about how he put some people, he reserved them for destruction. You know how you got like a reservation for a restaurant or something like that? There's some people that already in a list have a reservation list of they're going to be destroyed. Like who can tell me of one person from the Bible, from the scriptures, that's definitely going to be destroyed? Cain. Okay, that's good. Very good. Who else? Right, Judas Iscariot. Christ told him before he did his wickedness, he said, it would have been better if you would never have been born. So these are men that are already in the list of people that will be destroyed. See, Judas is an example to us of after you learn about Yahweh Shai, don't continue in your sin, because all that's going to do is what? It's going to increase and increase, and eventually Satan's going to take over. And then you will commit a sin with your death that you can't come back from, that you can't repent from, and end up what? Being on that reservation list. So going on, it says here, neither condemn me into the lower parts of the earth. When he said neither condemn me to the lower parts of the earth, meaning also don't kill me. So he didn't want to die. It says, for thou art the God, even the God of them that repent. And in me, thou wilt show all thy goodness. For thou wilt save me, that I am unworthy. According to thy great mercy, therefore I will praise thee forever all the days of my life. For all the powers of the heavens do praise thee, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. So basically, through the Most High, you know, even though we might have been unworthy of salvation, the Most High gives us the hope and the comfort in the scriptures to know that he brought us to this Babylon. We forgot all our forefathers, you know, we forgot how to keep the laws, our heritage. And all the wickedness that we did is as wicked as this man. Yet he will forgive us just like he forgave him. As long as we what? Repent sincerely. So with that, I'm going to give all praise and honor to the Most High in Christ.